Good afternoon, Anchor fam, and welcome back to my station. This is your girl, Ebony B, and today I am here and we're going to talk a little bit about some financial literacy type thing. So you all know I have my one episode where I'm talking about Black finances in America, but I wanted to continue to talk about finances and stuff like that, but I wanted to bring on another point of view, somebody who I know is a little bit more invested into this lifestyle. So Sean Gay is here, and today we're going to be talking about 5 tips you need to know before trading. So welcome, Sean Gay.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right. I mean, it's the end of the day, we finished class, so yeah, I have some work to do, but how's your day going? How are you?
It's a pretty good day. Got a lot of work to do too. All these tests coming up. You know how that is.
Yes, definitely. The school year has begun. We're officially in session. So, introduce yourself. Who are you?
All right. So, I'm Sean Gay Outlaw. I'm a senior finance major from Hernando, Mississippi. I was originally born in Pittsburgh, by the way. 21 years old. And I'm glad to be here today.
Awesome. I'm so glad to have you. I have been thinking about doing this segment and kind of what I wanted it to look like. And I knew I was going to need some help, but I definitely knew that I was going to come to you. So I appreciate you being here. So like I said, we started school together. So we're both finance majors, and I've just kind of been peeping Sean Gay, like, dude is into finance for sure. I know he has his own thing that he does on the side, and I just really wanted to hear his perspective on this, so I invited him to come on. So Sean Gay, give us some personal background on why you chose finance as your major.
Okay, so originally I was a mechanical engineering major. Ooh. And I got into finance after the first semester because I realized that I didn't want to come home dirty. I enjoy dressing up nice, putting on a suit, going to make some money.
Yeah, Sean Gay is super fly. Like, y'all should see the shoes he has on now. Like, I love them. But okay, I didn't know that you were a mechanical engineering major. That's cool. Okay. And so, give us a little bit of background on what got you interested in trading?
Okay, well, trading for me, I consider myself an investor more so than a trader because I'm more of a long-term based investor. Mm-hmm. So my father got me into investing because I realized, now he's retired, by the way. He retired at 48. He was an airline captain, and he has a portfolio with Fidelity. And I got the opportunity to track his performance and kind of see how he's doing, and I realized that he's making more money than most people make when they go to work every day just from his investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. He advised me to start at a young age, so I realized that that could be a main source of income for me, and I don't want to work all my life. Mm-hmm. So retirement is in the near future for me, and I'm going to need a way to keep my income up. So That's how I really got into investing.
Okay, so once you knew, okay, my dad is doing it, it's working for him, now I need to get on that train. So what's your relationship with it now? Like, what are you doing with that knowledge that trading or investing works?
Well, as of right now, I got started. I started a portfolio. I interned this summer with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and I saved up quite a bit of money from that. And then I started out my portfolio with 3 stocks, and I chose to invest in some long-term companies and also take a mutual fund under my account. Purpose for that was just diversification. I don't want to be too allocated in one stock and then risk losing my entire portfolio on some bad news. Mm-hmm. So right now my relationship is more so focused on 9 to 12 months in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to make short-term profits like a day trader would be. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, just looking to set up an account. I'm trying to make my first car purchase. Mm. Also thinking about apartments and rent, things like that. So I'm trying to let that account grow for a few years, and then I'll start pulling out from that in time.
Okay, so with what I just heard, so you have about 3 stocks that you are invested in, and you're going to let that money sit there for a minute so that it can produce some income just for, you know, savings. So like once you get to a certain point in your portfolio, are you going to take the money out and buy your new car, or, you know, put up for your apartment, or what are your plans for that?
Well, I have it broken down into two different allocations. There's half of it, or a percentage of it. Actually, it's not exactly half, but a percentage of it is nest egg savings. So nest egg is my retirement fund. I actually don't plan on pulling that down ever. That's going to be producing dividends for me and consistently growing over time. That'd be more so of a, once I retire, probably somewhere in my late 40s, maybe early 50s, I would live off of that income. Mm-hmm. But the other side of that is for my big purchases. You know, young in life, you got to get started. You got to have some money to get yourself on your own feet. So I would say a large percentage of that is going to be never touched, or touched maybe 30, 40 years from now. Mm-hmm. And then that other percentage is going to supplement my income that I'm going to be making from my full-time job, whatever that will be, and help me out on those purchases to where I'm not taking out loans and going into debt, things like that.
Awesome. So you're planning for your future big time right now.
I'm trying.
I feel it. That's impressive. Okay, so what all, how much, I guess, activity are you involved in when it comes to your relationship with the brokerage firm and your investments? So what is your role as an investor, and then what is your, what does the brokerage firm do?
Okay. As I said, I was working this summer with St. Jude, and I used that money to open up an account with Charles Schwab. Now, Charles Schwab requires a $1,000 account minimum in order to open an account with them. But the reason I chose them is because they have really great research. They give you really good alerts if you set certain order types. They'll let you know when your stock is moving a lot, when some news drops, anything that happens with the stocks that you're interested in. They're really good about letting you know that information. And I also appreciate their customer service. It's really easy to get in contact with them. So for me, I don't have a broker. I have a brokerage firm. Mm-hmm. So I use Charles Schwab services because they offer everything across the board when it's talking to stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, anything you want to buy, Charles Schwab offers. They're full service. So my relationship with Charles Schwab right now, I have a small portfolio right now, so I don't have a broker. But as I grow and as I continue to invest money more and more and more, I plan on looking into potentially moving to Fidelity. Mm-hmm. Because they have just a little bit better customer service and a little bit more experience on their team.
Okay.
But for now, because of the really low account minimum, you know, $1,000 is not too bad. Mm-hmm. And also the ability for me to make trades from my phone, my computer, their mobile, they're everywhere. It's easy to really use them and utilize their services. I'm going to stick with Charles Schwab, and that's been working out well for me so far.
Awesome. Okay, so what are your tips for somebody who is looking into getting into trading or investing? They want to allow their money to make money for them, and they don't know where to start. So what would be your tips for them?
All right, so this is the fun part. So first thing, people don't necessarily want to hear this, but I would say the most important thing is to pay off all interest-bearing debts. Now, interest-bearing debts are going to be those student loans that when you graduate, they're going to be costing you money. They're going to be costing more than what the loan was originally worth. Also, if you have a car loan or maybe house payments, things like that, anything that has interest on it, you're going to want to pay those off first before you start investing. Because when you start investing, there's no guarantee that whatever your portfolio does is going to be higher than your interest rate. So you could be losing money in the stock market and losing money on interest at the same time, and that's very stressful.
Yeah.
So I would say that's tip number one. Get rid of your interest-bearing debt. Now, if you do have those loans that don't have interest, I know for me, for example, I tore my ACL a couple times last year, mm-hmm. and I have some hospital bills, but they don't have interest on them. So I don't necessarily think that you need to worry about those debts because they're not costing you anything to carry.
Got you.
I'd say that's tip number one. Getting into tip number two, I would say it's very important to save enough money for emergencies and save enough money for, I'd say, 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. Living expenses being your rent, food, vehicle insurance, everything. and also add a little bit just for emergencies, because you never know what's going to happen. You can have a car accident, things of that nature. You want to be able to survive for 3 to 6 months in advance. Now, the reason for that 3 to 6 months, in the stock market, it's very cyclical. Some of your stocks will go up, some of them will go down, and sometimes it could last for a pretty long period. So on the front end, you're going to do your research. You're going to choose good stocks, hopefully.
Perfect.
If that cycle is on a downturn, for example, you purchase a stock at $100 and now it's trading at $90. Okay, now you get into a car accident or rent is due. You need to pull money from your stock account. But if you pull money from that account, you're going to be selling that stock lower than you bought it for. Mm-hmm. We don't want to take those losses. So the reason that we need to have 3 to 6 months of our living expenses already saved up in a different savings account is because we don't want to have to realize any losses just because the stock is on a downturn. Even though it might go up in the future, if we need that money now, we're going to realize those losses. So we don't want to do that. So save up your money to cover you to get through that period, and then your stock is going to be back in the green and you're going to be all right.
Awesome. So don't rush in. You can't rush into this trading thing. So it sounds like we need to do research, and we also need to prepare for emergencies, because the market is a gamble and there's no guarantee that we'll make money off of our investment.
That's true. There's no guarantee that you're going to make money, but there's definitely no guarantee that you're going to make money in a certain period of time.
Right.
Even if you choose a great stock, it might be down for a couple of months. So it's nice to have some money on the side so you don't have to take those losses.
Right.
Third tip. Now, this one is the one that takes the most time. I spend the most time here, and it's simply studying the language, learning all of the different terminology involved with investing. I know it can be overwhelming, so I would suggest picking somebody from YouTube to follow. The person that I started out with, or that I followed, was Jeremy. His YouTube channel was Financial Education. Now, what he does there is he breaks down very common just techniques and terminology that's involved with investing. So maybe you want to know more about options. That's not necessarily the simplest thing to get into, and it's kind of tough to study that on your own, so it might be good to choose somebody to explain that to you in a more detailed way. Another thing about studying, read. You have to read. I know Warren Buffett, known as the great investor of all time, he spends a lot of time reading. He's also published a book. He has a YouTube seminar. It's called Buffett's Books. I definitely recommend looking into those and learning just kind of his investment strategy, because I think it's hard to go against the greatest of all time when it comes to investing. Another thing that I would do when it comes to the studying aspect is take notes. You know, if you're not a finance major, or if you're not an accounting major, you're not in the business school, maybe you don't have the opportunity to be taught by teachers on these subjects, because that'd be, you know, outside of your curriculum. But there's a lot of information out there on YouTube and on the internet. The number one site that I would use for investment terminology would be Investopedia. They have everything there, and they also have terms of the day. So if you just wanted to have a passive way of gaining your knowledge when it comes to stocks and investing, look at that term of the day every day. Just make it a habit thing. Every time you wake up in the morning, check the term of the day, learn it, take a note about it, you'll be on your way. For tip number four, now this one's kind of interesting depending on who your family is, where you come from, what your background is.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, seeking that personal guidance is really big for me. And I sought that out of my dad, because he, like I said, he makes enough money now in investing to cover most people's regular income. So what I would recommend is that you find either a friend, a family member, a peer, anybody that you know that has an account. The reason for this is because they can take all of that stuff that you learned from step three, studying and learning terminology, and make it real for you. They can show you the real examples within their account of what the different things are, for examples, different types of orders that you can place, different types of securities that you can purchase, like mutual funds and ETFs. You're going to learn all this when you do your studying and your YouTubing, but it's going to be really easy for them to give you those examples and make it real for you, which YouTube can't necessarily do. So if you have a friend or somebody that, you know, you trust, you can possibly gain access to their account Just make sure you don't actually make any orders, because that's going to really upset them. But if you can gain access to their account, you can track their performance. You can see what their account is doing, how it's diversified, the different ways that they're using their broker to make money. Also, it's really nice to have somebody that can take the terminology that you've learned and kind of break it down on a simple level. Because I know a lot of people are overwhelmed by all the different words and terminology of the stock market. When you have your friend or your buddy explain it to you, it might sound really simple. And it really isn't that complicated. They just make a lot of these words sound really difficult, but if you have your friend break it down, it's not that crazy.
I like that step.
So step number 5. This is a big one. Determining your investing personality. Now, what does that mean? As an investor, you're going to have a lot of different characteristics that should affect your portfolio. Now, some of those things should be age. They should be your risk tolerance. How much are you willing to lose in a given day or time period? For example, me being 21 and me knowing that I don't need to touch any of the money that's in my account right now for at least a year or two out in advance, because I'm not making any major purchases, I have a higher risk tolerance than most people. I'm okay with my account going down 10-15% in one day. I'm not going to sell because I know that I've made good stock choices and that it'll probably recover. Now, some people, knowing that you need this money soon, they might be more apt to sell at certain downturns and things like that. But that should be covered in step 2 if you save enough money for 3 to 6 months of expenses and emergencies. You shouldn't have to sell at a loss. The other thing about your personality when it comes to investing is there's 3 different things in the stock market. There's bears, there's bulls, and there's pigs. So the old saying goes like this: bears make money, bulls make money, and pigs get slaughtered. So what does that mean? A bear in the stock market is someone who, I guess you could consider a pessimist. They believe that whatever stock they're choosing is going to go down. So what they do is they choose to take a short position, which means that they're going to borrow stocks from their broker, sell them at the price that they're currently at, and then buy them when the stock goes lower. So for example, if I choose Apple stock, and I believe that Apple stock is going to be lower than it is right now 1 month from now, I would be considered a bear for Apple stock. And I would take a short position on Apple in order to make money. They can make money, and then you go to the bulls. Bulls are people who would be considered your optimist of the market. They think that the stock that they're looking into is going to go up. So if they, for the exact same example, chose Apple to look at, and they believe that it's going to be higher next month than it is right now, based on whatever factors, it could be the new iPhone coming out, then they would take a long position on the stock. And they would purchase the stock and then sell it whenever it achieves the price that they believe that it should get to. They make money as well. Now the last one was pig. Pigs are a combination of bears and bulls. Pigs get slaughtered, and here's why. You can't time the market. Nobody is good enough. We have analysts that are getting paid hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars to look into these stocks, look into these sectors, and they lose too. Nobody has a perfect track record in the stock market. It's all about cutting your losses short and letting your winners run long. If you're a bear and a bull at the same time, you're going to take losses on both ends, and it's going to be bad for your portfolio in the long run. You're going to have some trades that work out well, but you're going to have a majority of them that don't, because you have to choose a personality to be in the stock market. You can't do both. If you try to time the market, you're going to lose. So with that being said, your overall investing personality should be based off of whether you think that you're better at watching stocks that are going to go up, seeing the value in a company and thinking that they're undervalued, or you're going to be looking into stocks that are going down, seeing the value of a company, thinking that it's overvalued. Choose one. Don't do both. You can make money on either side. The other thing about that, like I said, is your risk tolerance. Make sure you save up enough money to where you don't have to worry about, you know, pulling out money out of your account in case you're having a rainy day. Also, being young usually means that you can handle individual stocks. If you know and, you know, everybody knows themselves better than I do. If you know that you're afraid of your account going down a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand dollars in the period of maybe a week, then maybe you should look into index funds, mutual funds, or exchange trade funds, also known as ETFs. Individual stocks might not be the best thing for you right now, but if you're also looking into growth and realizing that you can have really nice gains, such as 20% gains, but you might have losses, such as 10%, 20% losses, then you'd be better off looking into individual stocks. So for me, I'm young, I'm 21, I know I don't need to touch my money for a few years, I'm more focused on individual stocks. But I think that everybody should determine their own personality when it comes to investing.
That was great. That was so intense. Like, that was so detailed. I am just so happy. I'm so excited for the knowledge that I just got, plus the knowledge that my listeners, my audience, that y'all get to receive. This is gold. This is tips on how to make money while you're sleeping. You feel me? Like, this is major. And Sean Gay, I really appreciate you coming and giving your 5 tips. And just to reiterate those 5 tips, they are: number 1 is to pay off all debt. Number 2 is to save 3 to 6 months worth of all your expenses. And number 3 is to study finance, study the language so that you can become familiar with the jargon of the financial world. And number 4, which I really liked, was to seek counsel. Find somebody who has some wisdom, who has been in the game, who knows what they're doing, or, you know, maybe they've experienced some losses. They can still share their knowledge with you. And number 5, discover your investor personality. And I really like this tip because I think it goes into self-awareness and knowing what type of person you are and how that'll result into what type of investor you'll become. And like I said, y'all, like, I am just so happy. That was just so great. Sean Gay, thank you again for coming out and talking to the people. Sean Gay, this is not going to be his last time on here. I'm going to take advantage of him being here. And I'm also the president of Financial Management Association. So Sean Gay is actually going to come and present these tips to some students on campus. So, yeah, I'm milking Sean Gay. I'm milking him for his knowledge while he's here. And I'm so appreciative of him coming. So thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Can the people follow you anywhere, or are you just going to be kind of like a ghost voice on this station? It's up to you. I mean,
I might pop in and out. We'll see. I might have to go ahead and make a financial education Instagram or Twitter or something like that.
Yes. Y'all, I know y'all want it. I know y'all want it. So, yeah, you probably do need to do that, because that'll make me super excited. And yeah. Okay, guys. So thank you again so much for tuning in. I hope you all were able to take away some tips and some lessons for yourself. If you're interested in trading or investing, or if you just wanted more knowledge about it, I hope that you were able to walk away with something. And I definitely have a lot of work to do for the week, and I'm sure Sean Gay does too. So thank you all so much again for tuning in, and this is your girl Ebony B. I'm signing out.